Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. You know, a lot of people listening say, Chad, you and TK talk much about speaking up and getting what you want, but the question always lingers, how? How do you do that so that you can be successful? Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast. And in today's episode, I'm going to address some of those specific questions that have come up recently as TK and I in our last episode really explored and shared the importance of speaking up and getting what you want. And I had massive feedback and questions come in sharing and asking, how do you do that? And more specifically, what can they do? What can you do to really speak up so that you can get what you want? In today's episode, we're going to explore five of those questions that came up repeatedly from different listeners wanting to know how. How can we do that? And the first one I'm going to address is this. It says, how do I overcome the fear of rejection when asking for what I want? You know, that fear of rejection, and I love TK always says that the fear means false expectations appearing real, right? We have that fear that really hinders us. In fact, TK posed this question to me once. He said, Chad, what would you do today if you had no fear? Who would you call? What would you ask? What would you say if you had no fear? And so as I thought about that question, how do I overcome the fear of rejection when asking for what I want? Well, the first thing I want to recognize is this. Rejection, when we have that fear of rejection, we're really making the interaction all about us because we're worried about what others will think, how others will feel. In fact, in the last episode, TK referenced that we are fearful of asking things because we're worried about what other people are going to think about us. But the reality is this. The fear of rejection comes from limiting beliefs that we have about ourselves. And think about that for a moment. When you've had fear come into your mind, when you've had fear prevent you from asking for things, it's because you have limiting beliefs about yourself. So you say, okay, Chad, what then can I do to overcome those limiting beliefs? And I'm going to give you this recipe, which is this. You need to be more clear on what the person you're asking for or asking something for, what they truly want. Because sometimes we assume too much. We think this is what they want. We think this is what they're interested in, but we're not clear on it. If and when you get clear on what the other person truly desires, what the other person truly wants, then your fear will subside because you will know exactly how to address that. Now, let me give you an example. My very first consulting client that I ever had was actually TK. And some of you that have listened to previous episodes know this, that TK was my very first consulting client. I was working at a software company and I was head of sales and biz dev there. And TK and I had crossed paths and I started asking TK a lot of questions. In fact, he started the conversation and I began asking him question after question after question. And TK in his mind knew that I was clear from all the questions that I had asked what his problems and his companies were. And so he wanted to hire me. And because I knew exactly what he needed help with, I then presented an offer that I would consult with his company. Now, I still had some fear creep in there in the moment because when I was on the phone with him, telling him what I charged, and again, I'd never charged anyone for consulting before, I said, TK, I normally charge $3,000 a month for this, but for you, I will charge $2,000. And this was many years ago, my very first conversation that I've had along those lines. And TK's reply to me was, I'll go ahead and pay the $3,000. Because I knew well enough what his problem was. If you want to overcome the fear of rejection when asking for something, ask yourself this question. Are you clear on the problem that they have? And do you feel confident that you can solve it? Because if you can ask yes to those questions, then you will quickly overcome that fear. Which that ties in exactly to the next question that came up, saying, how can I communicate my value effectively when making a bold request? Right? So I've got to overcome this fear, but then how do I communicate my value effectively? Now, going back to what I referenced just a moment ago, where we sometimes start communicating value before we have an understanding of their challenge, of their problem. You see, too often we're just like, okay, I can do all of this. And so I just start presenting value, 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 value across the board. And the person becomes hesitant, not because you haven't presented a ton of value, but because they're unclear on if your value can truly solve their situation and their challenge. And when you can get clarity around that, when you can ask the questions, then you can boldly say, you know what? I need this, this, and this. Or you can ask for whatever it is, because people will pay for their problems to be solved. Regardless of whether you are a leader of a sales organization or you're an entrepreneur, whatever it is that you do, people will pay you to solve their problem. And I love, Dave Ramsey told me once, he said that when people see that you can solve their problem, they will give you certificates of appreciation with the president's faces on it, right? They will pay you money to help solve that problem. So when you say, Chad, and the question that came up, Chad, how can I communicate my value effectively? And when making a bold request, you can do that when you clearly understand their problem. And then once you have it completely clear, then you can boldly say, I can solve that problem for this, or I can do that. And this is the deal that we can create and we can close. Like TK referenced earlier in our last episode, when he was talking about, okay, the bank wanted to get rid of this particular real estate. And TK said, perfect, I can do that and we'll pay that amount, but you have to give it to me at 0% interest, to which they did, right? And it's when you are clear on what it is that they want. So question number three, how do I eliminate limiting beliefs that keep me from asking for what I want? So think about that for a moment. If you have the value and you understand all of these things that we talked about in question one and two, how do I eliminate the limiting beliefs that keep me from really asking for what I want? And the only way you can do that, or the absolute best way you can do that, is through practice. What do I mean by that? Well, we all have those thoughts that creep into our mind. I'm not good enough. They'll think I'm greedy. I'm not experienced enough. And so you go, okay, Chad, how do you overcome that? You have to practice overcoming that. Well, how do you practice overcoming that? Well, first of all, quit making it about you. Quit making it about you and, oh my goodness, I'm asking them this amount of money to do this, or I'm asking for this much more in salary, or I'm asking whatever it is you may be asking for. Quit making it about you. And back to what I'm talking about, solving their problem. I remember my second consulting client after TK. I was comfortable with that $3,000 a month mark as I was starting to bring on clients. And so I got another client and I start talking through his problems and challenges and how I could solve those problems. And he goes, okay, Chad, just send it over. I need your help. Help me with this. And so I was like, okay. So I prepared everything. And then I called in my wife and Cassie is one of the greatest supports, just an absolute amazing individual. And I pulled her in and I said, Cassie, look at this. Does this all make sense to you? Because I wanted her to look at my proposals. I was sending this over to her and she looked at it. And this is again, many years ago, the very beginning of my consulting career. And she said, I like everything, but you're asking for $3,000 a month. And I said, yeah. That, do you feel good about that? And she goes, no. And I said, oh, okay. What should I do? And she goes, I want you need to ask for $4,000 a month. And I was like, Cassie. And then I had those limiting beliefs, right, within my mind. And she goes, nope, put $4,000 a month. And then she goes, no, $5,000 a month. And I was like, wait, what? And my heart sank. And I was like, oh, $5,000 a month. No, I can't ask for that. And she goes, no, that's what you need to do. And so, I mean, I was like, okay, what do I do? Do I worry about losing this client or is Cassie going to think less of me? And I was having all these feelings and thoughts come to my mind. So I did, I changed it and I hit send. And when I hit send, my heart sank. I was just like, oh, what have I just done? What have I just done? And he immediately replied and said, this looks great. Let's move forward. And I was like, and my wife, Cassie just looked at me and she's like, see? And the more practice you get, the more practice you have and experiences you have where you present the value and the answer to people's problems, you will build those elements of confidence and reduce the limiting beliefs. Now, that's going to connect with this next question that is really, question 3 and 4 really tie in together, and that is this. Number 4, how can I embrace an abundance mindset when I feel stuck or limited? Okay, Chad, how do I embrace an abundance mindset? I hear you and TK talk about it all the time, that abundance mindset, but I'm struggling with it. How do I embrace it? Well, keeping in mind, just in the story I shared just a moment ago, I had that limiting scarcity mindset, right? So I'm going to share 4 specific things you can do to really embrace that abundance mindset. And the very first one is this, gratitude. You know, it's interesting with gratitude. I recently was in the Dominican Republic, and as many of you perhaps know, there are some areas of the Dominican Republic that have quite an extensive amount of poverty. There's a lot of poverty there. And I noticed that there was a lot of happy people there too. And so we had a driver with us that was driving us around to certain areas of the Dominican. And I turned to the driver and I said, why is it that you're so happy? Why is it that here they are in some of them in quite a bit of poverty, but yet in almost in a more abundance mindset than those of us that have so much? And I said, why is it that you're so happy? And he goes, well, we have family here. We have friends here. The weather's amazing. And he started listing all of these things. And what I was noticing in what he was clearly articulating is, he had gratitude. And with gratitude creates abundance. You see all that you have. And when you begin to realize and understand all that you have, you start thinking more abundantly. You start thinking, wait a second, I have so much. More most definitely and most certainly can come my way. So number one, how can I embrace an abundance mindset when I feel stuck? Number one, gratitude. Number two, friends. And when I say friends, I'm really saying those you associate closely with, right? Cassie, I referenced Cassie before. Almost all of the success I've experienced in this life has somehow been connected to the most important person in my life, Cassie, who is that amazing abundance. I mean, her mindset is always abundance, always, always, always abundance. And so I'm seeing her, being with her every day rubs off on me. And I love that quote from the previous episode with TK where he says, rich rubs off, poor rubs off. Well, I'm going to add to that, an abundant mindset rubs off. And fortunately for me, my companion Cassie, she has that abundant mindset and it rubs off on me. And so my wife has that huge, huge impact. And so I just say friends, and those I would add and include in that group, those you simply associate closest with, your spouse, your companion, your siblings, or whoever it might be. Just be very, very, very careful. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting you call up your brother and say, hey, I was listening to Chad's podcast today and realized that I need to no longer speak to you, right? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is take note of those that are closest to you and how they're impacting that abundance mindset. Number three is the words you're saying to yourself. Catch and notice those words. And then number four, your non-verbal expressions. TK and I, when we go and do trainings to corporations and organizations on speaking and how they can improve their public speaking, TK and I will often remark to ourselves that before we get up and speak, we will, you know, we'll jump up, we'll get our adrenaline going. There are things that we will do to impact our non-verbal expression. Take note and notice how you are approaching situations. You know what? Sometimes when I get discouraged and I get overwhelmed with everything that's going on, I'll walk out of the room and Cassie will stop me and say, hey, stand up straight. Put your shoulders back. You got this, right? And what she's saying is, Chad, your nonverbal expression is impacting your mindset. So watch your nonverbal expression. When you get overwhelmed, sometimes your head looks down. It is always, always, always better to look up. So look up, put your shoulders back. And now I catch myself when I'm doing that, even when Cassie's not around, because she's helped me for so many years say, stand up, put your shoulders back. You've got this. And those four specific things will absolutely impact your mindset, your gratitude, those friends and close individuals to you, the words to self, and of course, your nonverbal. Now, the last one that we will touch on today is this. People say this, the question that came in a lot of different ways, but was basically asking this same thing. How do I build meaningful connections that support my goals? Okay, Chad, how do I build meaningful connections? You know, I was talking to a good friend today, Brian Hatch, and he's like, Chad, you're so well connected. And he's like, and I was thinking to myself, I don't feel well connected, but I have some incredible friends and connections that I truly value. And so when they asked this question, how do I build these meaningful connections? I just want to make sure you understand that when you're trying to connect with other people, as TK and I've talked about, make it about them. Work and think about making their life better, not how you can benefit from that connection. That is key and critical, and you'll be stunned at how many connections you create with that mindset. Now, let me just give one quick example. Several years ago, Cassie and I were relocating our family, our kids, from Arizona to Idaho. And we just had a couple of days. We were getting our home all ready. We'd sold the home and we had a last, you know, for those of you that have moved, know the pain that it is, those last few stages of moving out of a house, and you feel overwhelmed and you get stressed and you're just like, I am just tired of this and you want to be done. And we had one last night. Cassie and I had one last night to clean everything up with the kids. And there were a few people that said, hey, can I help you with anything? And Cassie and I both responded with, no, we're good. Thanks, though. A few other people, can I help you? No, we're good. Then that night, we had people show up and say, hey, where can I clean? And they just showed up and helped, and we got everything fixed. And those individuals that showed up are some of the deepest connections that Cassie and I still have today. You see, too often when we're trying to create connections with people, people will have told us, oh, provide value. And then they'll want to connect with you. So people say things like, how can I help you? Is there anything I can do? You know, those types of questions. The reality is, you want to deepen connections, show up and provide value, and watch what happens. Those individuals on that late night in Gilbert, Arizona, showed up, provided value, and the connections were made. So as you want to improve your status at work, you want to improve your ability as an entrepreneur, as a business leader, whatever it is, show up and provide value and quit asking what you can do. You can see it, and it will change the way people view you because you see it and you go change it. And hopefully you heard through this podcast today the importance of showing up, providing the value, and making it all about the other individual. And as you do that, you will be able to ask and get what you want because you've given the value that you can bring because it meets the needs that other people have. When their needs meet your value, connection happens and you can speak with boldness because you know exactly what they need. So go now, take these five principles and speak up and get what you want. And go have a tremendous day, everyone. Take care now. Bye now.